that this evening. And then right after that, we're going to be in James chapter number 4. James chapter 4. And again, if you didn't get a bulletin, the notes are on the back there for that. James chapter number 4 tonight. James chapter 4. And it is good to see Derek and Carla back there with us. And we're glad to have them tonight with us. And I appreciate them being here. I saw them at the funeral home just a little bit ago. We're glad they're able to be here with us tonight. And Derek, if you will you stand and pray for our offering this evening?
Father, thank you, Lord, for Sardis Church, Lord, what it means. Lord, thank you for the folks here. Lord, I pray, God, tonight, once again, you be with Tim Walker family, Lord. And, Lord, thank you for his life. Lord, what he meant, and what Miss Diane meant to the church at one time, Lord. And I pray, Lord, tonight, for all of us, Lord, that we would do your will. God, I pray that you lead and guide and direct us. God, use this money, Lord, as you see fit. Thank you for your church. Lord, I pray that you'd uplift our hearts tonight, God, through your word. There's nothing that we can do, even meeting together, God, but we need you in the midst of us. Lord, I pray that you'd be with Brother Joey. God, use him tonight. Use his words. Lord, use the power of the Holy Spirit tonight. Bless the offering. Use it as you see fit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sunday and Galatians, and I'm telling you, it's been an awesome study, and I can't wait we get in there together this week, but you make sure that you read up and be ready for it. James, that's in the Bible, all right? I'm getting there, okay? James chapter number 4, if you have the purple Bible, it's 1,308, okay? If you didn't bring your Bible, or in the pew right in front of you, but I'm glad you're here tonight. You glad you're alive? Say amen.
Amen.
I'm glad. It's good, you know what? It's good to be saved, too, and just walking around while I go to the funeral home and just seeing Tim there and seeing his children and folks. You know, all of us, our lives, they're going to come to an end one day. Amen? And I'm telling you, when that happens, all that matters, number one, that I knew the Lord, but number two, that I was faithful to him. That I was faithful to him. And that our life didn't burn up in smoke because we did it for the wrong reason. And man, it's just incredible tonight and, to be saved and know the Lord. And good to see you too. Appreciate you coming on Wednesday night. And many of you just got off work and stood in. And appreciate you coming and being here. And I said, mentioned a little bit ago, I didn't even think about it. But Derek and Scarlett of our new folks, this is the pastor here, Brother Billy, was here 13 years. His pastor, that's his daughter and son-in-law. And his daughter is awesome. He almost killed his son-in-law a couple times, though, okay? And good to have them here with us tonight. And I appreciate them being here. And you pray for them. And Eastside, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, has a new pastor now. And he'll be there December the 1st. And I can't wait to have him up here and preach for us. A great man. And look forward to time down there. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight, okay? I pray this afternoon. And if you are a parent tonight, will you raise your hand? Your parent, your kids are here on the property with you tonight. Raise your hand. Your grandparent. And listen, tonight I pray this afternoon, Lord, help our church tonight and help me as a pastor, as a parent, as a Christian. And I'm telling you tonight, what we're getting ready to get into, our teenagers are here tonight and our children are here tonight in Awana. And it all meshes together. And their verse, though, their memory verse, verse for the week is verse 10. I highlighted verse 6 for us on the front of our bulletins. I feel like it'd just be a help to, I know in my life I needed it, and maybe it'd be a blessing to you too. But let's stand together and grow. James chapter number 4, verse number 1 tonight. You still glad to hear? Say amen.
Amen.
Let's get into it. James chapter number 4, verse number 1. The Bible tells us this. From whence come what?
Wars.
Wars and fightings among you. Come they not hence, even of your own lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight, watch this, and war. You fight in war, and then he goes on and says, ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. And then he says this, don't dismiss this, the context here, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And tonight, verse number 6 means a lot tonight. This is why. Because I don't know if you found this out or not. I know you have because you're alive tonight. But how many of you would agree that it's hard to get along with everybody in your life all the time? Amen? Especially in our own house. Amen? And tonight, real quick, let's look at this corralling conflict in our life. Let's pray together. Father, will you help us right now, Lord? You have to get your sword. And you have to go deep into our hearts. Because, Lord, tonight we're getting ready to see in just a little bit many times the conflict in our life is because of us, even though we don't even realize it. And Lord, tonight I pray that we would be testimonies of Christ in this world. And Lord, so many people walk around in the name of Christ in their life. They claim to be a Christian, and they just live in constant war with people in their life. And God, you don't want that. That is not of you. That is not Christ-like. That's not why you saved us. And tonight, Lord, I pray you would use your word in our hearts, and we will be open to you, Lord Jesus. And I pray tonight especially for every man in the room, Lord. I'm not minimizing the women. They're important. We all have our place in your world. But God, I pray for our men tonight that we will allow this to get into our hearts. We're the ones that set the tone for our homes and our church and the community we live in. And God, I pray you will help us this evening. Be with us the next few moments. Jesus, we ask this in your name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I want to make a statement tonight. It's not in your notes, but the reality is this. The truth we need to learn tonight is we are all going to disagree, but we do not have to become disagreeable in our lives and live with conflict in our life. Now, the truth of the matter is nobody in this building is going to agree with anybody all the time in your life. That is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And just because tonight a person disagrees with us does not mean that person is unspiritual. Please follow me on this real quick, okay? It can mean the reality is we sometimes, if someone disagrees with us, we like to point the finger and say, you're not spiritual because you disagree with me. The truth of the matter is, just because someone disagrees with us does not mean they are not spiritual. As a matter of fact, it could mean they are spiritual, they're growing, they're learning to think for themselves, and they have a different idea because they're different. And we have to remind ourselves tonight, especially in marriage, in parenting, in ministry, and in church life, that we are going to disagree with others. There's going to be times when we disagree with one another. However, tonight, being disagreeable and living in conflict in our life, listen to me, is not Christian living. That'd have been a great time if somebody said amen. That'd be great. Because watch what I'm saying here. It's okay to disagree, but being disagreeable and living with conflict in your life is not Christianity. And that's what James is dealing with here, but we have to, the truth is tonight, we are going to disagree. You are going to disagree with me, you're going to disagree with your wife, you're going to disagree with your friends, you're going to disagree with people in your Sunday school class, you're going to disagree with people at work. Why? Because we have to realize we are going to disagree, but why? First of all, And before you get saved, you're going to be disagreeable. But listen, after we come to know the Lord, there's still going to be times in our life where we're going to disagree with people. We're going to be disagreeable. Why? Because we still have that old nature. We still have that old flesh. And y'all, I'm going to tell you tonight, there is not a perfect person in this building. And there's not a perfect person in your home. And there's not a perfect person in Barber County. And there's not even a perfect person in Tuscaloosa. I know some of you think it is, but it's not. And the truth of the matter is, y'all, we are going to disagree at times. Why? You ready? Because you're a sinner. You say, I'm saved. Yes, you're redeemed, but you're not perfect. You're being sanctified. You're becoming like Christ. And we have to understand that is why we're going to disagree at times. But I want to go a step further tonight, okay? Because we are not Christians of the law. We're Christians of the Spirit, the law of the Spirit. And number two tonight, we'll disagree because of maturity. What do you mean, Brother Joy, by maturity? Here's what I mean. Some of us are at different stages in our faith, and it determines how we see things. In Romans chapter 14, for instance, now watch this. How many of you would agree with me tonight? How many of you would agree with me the Apostle Paul was a pretty good Christian? Raise your hand. He's a pretty good Christian. I'm telling you, he's a man. Matter of fact, most of the books in the New Testament, he was the one that God inspired to scribble down for those, and he was the one that God used to inspire the Word of God. He was a good Christian. But listen to this. In Romans 14, here's what Paul said. He said, you got to be careful because there's going to be people who see things different than you, and just because they see things different than you does not mean they're wrong and you're right, or you're wrong and they're right. Because in maturity in our faith, we see things differently. What do you mean? In Romans 14, here's what was taking place. There were some people who were Jews. Jews, you know, they don't eat bacon. They don't eat pork skins. Could you imagine ever going through life eating those sweet spices? They don't eat those things. They don't eat pork skins. So watch this. Here's what was happening. When some of them were getting saved, some of them said, hey, that meat over at the meat market came from the sacrifices. They would drain the blood and then sell the meat at discount. And the Jewish Christian were saying, you ought not eat that meat. That is idolatry. That is idolatry worship. And some of them said, all it is meat. There's not a sin in that meat. I have Christian liberty to eat that meat. And they had, watch this, different opinions. Why? Because of where they were in their faith. And Paul said, you give way to the weaker brother in your life. Why? Because he's different than you and he disagrees with you. But it does not mean he doesn't love the Lord. It means he's at a different level in his faith. Now, if you're still breathing, say, go ahead. Because I want you to watch me tonight. Some of you have been saved for 30 years. And there's things in your life. Some of you have been saved for 20 years. And there's things in your life that you have no problems with. But I want to throw this out at you. How many of you would agree we live in a different culture than we did 20 years ago? And the average man today, when he gets saved in this church, he has a lot of battles that did not even exist 20 years ago. And I don't know about you, but I love watching the ball game. I love going to ball games. The nachos are just better at ball games. Amen? They're $5, but they're better. Watch this. A man that's a new Christian, he just got saved. Because of the way the cheerleaders dress and the dances they do, sometimes he may not be able to go there because of his weak faith. And listen to me. You don't look at me like I'm crazy. This is why we need. How many of you still breathing? Say amen. Amen. And we have to understand tonight. That's what James is dealing with. And he's saying, listen, you've got to understand. You are going to disagree with others. Why? Because you're at different levels in your life. I'll be honest with you too. I know people that get saved out of a drunken lifestyle. They drank when they woke up and they went to bed drinking and they were drunk all day. Listen, when they get saved out of that, the smell of alcohol is dangerous for them. Christianity. New Testament Christianity is we are to do what is best for the body of Christ as a whole and not an individual, but the body of Christ. And we have to realize we're going to be different. Why? Because we're sinners. Number two, because of maturity levels in our life and in where we are. And I want to say to us tonight, or we could just go on with this. But look at your next statement with me, if you will. If you're still with me, say, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Look at this proposition statement in James chapter 4. In verse number 2, God is speaking to believers with conflict in their lives. And he says that they are at war with others. I want you to look at verse 2 with me again, if you will. James chapter 4, verse number 2, look what the Bible says. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain, ye fight and war. Now, I want you to look at me just a second. You know what that word war is? That word war right there is not a fist fight in high school because somebody looked at me wrong. That word war right there is this. This side stands up, and we all go at it together, and we're trying to kill each other. And James said to these Christians here in this church in Jerusalem, he said, hey, you are fighting among yourselves, and you're supposed to be saved, and you're at war with one another. And if you have Christ in you, that is not of Christ, and you do not need to live that way if you know Christ. And so James comes to them, and he says, listen tonight, you need to understand why you have conflict. You need to understand what it does in your life, and then how you ready for this, can be delivered from being that type of person in your life. Now, I see it all the time. Talk to a man this week. Listen to me. His wife, Neil, they're constantly moving out. They're constantly separating. They're constantly, we're going to end it. We're going to get a divorce. I'm sick of you. And then in a week, they realize they care about each other. And that ain't right. That ain't what's best for them. And they try to work it out. Listen to this follows. And they come back together and they move back in on Monday. And the kids are glad because mommy and daddy are now back together. And they make it through Monday, and Tuesday goes good, and then Tuesday night they come in, and it just happens. You know what I'm talking about. It just happens. And by 7:30, the kids are upstairs in their room. Mom and daddy's downstairs screaming and hollering. The kids are crying because they don't know what's going to happen to their family. There's insecurity in their life. Their security is gone in their life. And you say, but what happens? Here's what happens. They did not learn to deal with conflict in their life. And we did not learn to corral conflict in our life. Because listen tonight, nobody in here is ever going to be perfect. And we have to learn, you ready, to allow God's grace. Listen to me. Help us to get along with others that know Christ. And I'm going to tell you tonight, you can't do it without Jesus. Bless God, I ain't leaving. If she leaves, I'm going with her. Listen to me tonight. That's true and that's honorable. But that's not Christ-like. That's religion without relationship. And I'm going to tell you tonight, there's no little kids in here tonight. There's no sense in anybody that claims to be a Christian having hell on earth in their home. We ought to be saved enough that God can help us live in peace and harmony and grace in our home. And it ought not be every time you walk in, it's WWA or hand fighting, and they wonder if daddy's going to kill mom or mama's going to go off and just put daddy out of his misery. It ought not be that way in our life. We ought to be able to allow God's grace to help us in our life. And James says, you got to learn to corral that. So tonight, how do we disagree and not be disagreeable in our homes? How do we do it in our life, in our church, in our community, in relationships? How do we corral this conflict in our life? And I'm so glad you asked that question so we can answer tonight. If you're still ready to say, let's move on. Number one, here it is. You ready for this? The cause of conflict. Why do we have conflict in our life? What is it that causes this conflict? Now, don't miss me tonight. I'm not talking about disagreeing. I'm talking about being disagreeable where we live in conflict. We live in war. We live, if you can, in battle in our lives. What causes that? Look at verse 1, what he says. Number 1, verse 1, he says this. From whence come the wars and fightings among you? Come them not hence of your own lust that war in your members. First bullet, the source. In verse number 1, it comes from within out of your own lust, okay? Out of your own lust, okay? Now, please stay with me on this. When you got saved, you received an enablement to please God in your life. lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and you cannot attain, you fight and war, ye have not because you ask not. So this is verse 2, it results in unspirituality. I want you to think tonight. He says, you kill. How many of you ever watched the news? And she got so mad at him that she shot him and killed him. And you thought, how in the world can that happen? There it is right there. When you do not yield to God in your life, it'll make you do crazy things. It'll make you do some of the dumbest stuff. You'll turn around and you say, why in the world did I do that? You ready? Because you were overcome with your lust and you were overcome with temptation and you acted a fool. Why? Because you were not allowing God's grace to help you in your life. Why would she say something like that to her husband? Why would he say something like that to his wife? You ready? Because he's not allowing God's grace to help him in his life. And I want to say tonight that everybody in this building, we all sin. Amen. We all have problems. We all fall short of God's glory. But understand this. I ought not have to continually go back and apologize for the same thing over and over and over and over again. God's grace is sufficient. And it'll help me. That's what he says in verse 3. Look at this. Watch this. Here's the answer, okay? What is the cause of conflict? Verse 1 is from within us. Verse 2, it causes us to act unspiritual. Verse 3, look what he says. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. Here's what he says. The setting of it is the wrong motives in your life. You ask amiss. So what is the cause of this conflict? Why do we have conflict? Now, I'm not talking about disagree, but why do we become disagreeable? You know what I'm talking about. You and your wife get right down the road and talk about something, discuss something without feeling like somebody's going to kill each other. But you also know what I mean when the switch flips on and you're like, uh-oh. Now, this is just us tonight. Let's just be honest. Amen? You know. You know when you said it. You felt it. She didn't touch you. She didn't look at you. Nothing happened, but you know. It just happened. What happened? What happened? You ready? Here's what it is. Won't you write this statement down? When we desire for our own will to be done instead of God's, we fight for that in our relationships, and it results in conflict in our lives. The conflicts in our lives are a result of our selfishness and our pride. What does that mean? Here's what it means. The next time that I'm in it with somebody and I'm arguing with them and I'm mad at them and there's contention, you can feel it. Here's the problem. Somebody is fighting for their will and not God's will. When we as Christians, we desire God's will and not our own will. And when we desire our will, it causes conflict and turmoil in our life. And why do we keep fighting? Why do we keep causing conflict? Why do we keep warring? Because we are fighting for our own will. Listen to this. There's a story I read this afternoon. There was two men in a town. Two men in a town. And they were best friends their whole life. And then one day they were out in the shopping center and they got into an argument. Two high school friends. They're grown men now. Wives and kids. They got into a big argument. And so at this town, they had what was called a sage. It would be a person of wisdom, someone that would go through in the town, kind of like we refer to as a judge or something. And they took it before them. And one man walked in on Monday and stood before the sage and said, here's what happened. When he poured the story out and just told the whole detail, the sage looked at him and said, you're right. The next day on Tuesday, the other man walked in in front of the sage, looked at the sage, told his side of the story, every detail, and the sage looked at him and said, you're right. Now, the sage's wife was behind him, and when the second man left the office, she came to her husband, put her hands on his desk, and looked at him and said, do you realize what you just did? And he says, what did I do? And she said, you told the man yesterday he was right, and you told the man today he was right, and the man yesterday had a total different story than the man today did, and you told both of them when you were right. And then she said, what do you think about that? And he looked at her and said, you're right. What's the point of that? Here it is. When I'm arguing for what I want but we can't see it. Why? Because we're fighting for what we want. And James tells him here. He says, listen, here's why you're acting this way. Oh, watch, quit. He said, this is why you're acting this way, because you're not wanting God's will, you're wanting your will. Now, what happens, Brother Joe? I already said verse 2 makes you do crazy things, but here's what I want you to see. How do you know tonight, that you might be in a situation, listen, you might be in a situation where you're constantly in war, and the Holy Spirit's speaking to you tonight, and you're humble in your heart, and you're saying, God, am I doing right? God, am I that kind of person? Am I always wanting what I want? How do you know that you are in a relationship, a fellowship with a contentious person, and you're not the problem, they're a problem? How do you know? Here's what I love about the Bible. The Bible tells us the truth. It tells the truth. Look at verse 3. Look what God says in verse 3. How do you know? Look what he says in verse 3. Ye what? And receive what? Because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. You know what verse 3 says? Here's what it says. I want you to see what it says. The Bible says in verse 3, if you're one of these people, if this is you, and you're always doing your will, that God does not answer your prayers. Is that not what it says? You ask and receive not. Why? Because you ask amiss, that you may consume it above your own lust. So here's what that means. God in heaven, he looks down and says, I'm not answering his prayers. I'm not listening to him. He don't care about me. He cares about him. That I'm not listening. He's praying for his unsaved son. He's praying for a new job. And God says, I'm not listening to him. Because he's all about you. All about her. So how do you know what I'm telling you? My challenge to me, and this is a challenge, you better keep up with your answered prayers. You better highlight them in your notebook, and as God answers them, you better mark them off. You know why? Because it lets you know that God is hearing your prayers. And James says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. You're wanting your will, not God's. Now, this is the next thing. Number one, that's the cause. Number two, let's look at this next thing. Look at verse number 4 with me, okay? Verse number 4, what does he say next? Number one, the cause, the consequence. What does it do in our life, okay? What does it do in my life? If I'm a person constantly living in war with people, what does it do in my life? You ready for this? My life. Look at verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever there will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us, thus is the enemy? So the consequence of conflict, what does it do in our life? Verse number 4 and 5, he called them adulterers and adulteresses. To show living in conflict is worldly, it is not of the spirit, and it is spiritual adultery in our life. Now I want you to think just a moment. Our relationship to God is pictured in the Bible as in marriage. We are to be faithful to God in our relationship to him. And when we are not, when we want what we want and we are not seeking to please the Lord, God calls it spiritual adultery. And tonight, did you know that the truth of the matter is right here in this text, when we are this kind of person, when we're this kind of individual, we are an adulterer in the eyes of God. Rachel, explain. John chapter 8. You remember the conflicted people, the people that constantly cause problems for Jesus? Watch this. They caught a woman in the act of adultery. What did they do? Here's what they did. They brought her over to Jesus, and they brought her before Jesus, said, Jesus, we caught her in the act of adultery, and the Bible says we should stone her. And Jesus stepped back, and he knelt down, and he took his finger. Now, I don't know what he wrote in the sand, but listen to this. He knelt down, and the Bible says he wrote something in the sand. Now, we don't know what he wrote in the sand, but we do know what followed. The Bible says when he got up, he looked at them and he said, all right, boys, maybe you have out a Greek. Said, whichever one of you is without sin, you be the first one to throw. Who wants to throw first? And the Bible says they were all convicted in their conscience. You know why? Because on the outside, they weren't living in adultery, but on the inside, they were adulterers in their heart. And you know tonight, just because I'm not out there cheating on my wife, don't mean that I'm not an adulterer. Because the Spirit leads me away from the world. And when I do not yield to him and I do what I want, it is spiritual adultery according to James 4 and 5. Now, let's move on so we get out of here. Number three tonight, the cure for conflict in your life. If you have conflict in your life like this, if you live in constant war, if you live in constant war, and I'm not talking about tonight that you have a relationship, that you're growing and learning to live with one another. Listen, I told you before, we're all sinners. We're growing in our faith. We're going to disagree, but we do not have to live in war. So tonight, what is the cure for conflict? Look at verse number 6. He says this, but he giveth, say those next two words, more grace. What is more grace, Ray? How many of you found out when you got saved that grace changed your life? But you find yourself still needing help today. The Bible says, but he giveth, you ready? More grace. So how do we get out of this? More grace. And listen to this tonight. The grace of God tonight, here's your statement in verse 6, God's cure for conflict is grace, but as his gift, it must be received in our life. It must be received in our life. Now, this is interesting. You know what grace is? Grace is a gift that God gives me, but I've got to meet his requirements. So what is the requirements for me to be a recipient of God's grace? Maybe tonight you're not struggling with this. Maybe you're struggling with depression in your life. You know what to fix that? You ready? More grace. Maybe it's an addiction nobody knows about, none but you and God. You know what to fix it? More grace. You see, you don't need a man to do something. You need God to do something. So how do we get God's help? How do we receive what he wants to do for us that we can't do for ourselves? How do we receive it? Number one, verse number 7, look what he says. Submit yourselves, therefore, to, say the word with me, God. Let's do that again. Verse number 7, okay? Stay with me tonight. How many of you agree we need God's grace? Say amen. Look at verse 7, okay? Let's pay attention. Look at this. Submit yourselves, therefore, to who? God. Verse 7, 8, we must submit. What does this mean? It means to rank under and yield. It means to put yourself under, to be willing to do. Let me put it in South Alabama English. To be willing to do what God tells you. Standing there and work, and your boss is a jerk. He's a what? Nobody likes a jerk. Listen to me. You say, well, won't God just move off to that? You do realize that God put that person in your life for a reason. He allowed it. How do you respond? You say, Brother Joe, I want God's grace. Okay, listen to this. Your boss, he's a jerk, and he comes to you, and he's talking out of his mind, and your flesh. I'm about to unload on you, boy. And God's Spirit says, don't you do that. Humble yourself. Ponder your breath. Are you willing to do what God wants you to do? Until we are willing to do what God wants us to do, we don't need to expect God to give us grace. Why have illustration? I can see right now. This week, we've got to get this done. Because next week, we're going to be in another verse. Amen. Look back at verse number 7 again. Verse 7, he says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil now, and he will flee from you. I spent a little time on this a couple weeks ago, so let me just mention to you. In 7b, we must resist. What does this mean? The thoughts of the devil. Hey, remember tonight, the devil will put stuff into your mind. You remember in Acts, we went through three times in the book of Acts, where the devil put thoughts into the minds of God's people, and you have to resist those thoughts, saying, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to act on that. You have to resist it. But look at this next thing. Boy, this has been a blessing. Verse number 8, okay? By the way, this is the only time this word is used in the Bible in this definition. So pay attention. Look at verse number 8, what he says. Draw nigh to God, and he will, say those next four words. Draw nigh to you. The third thing we do is draw nigh. What is this word? I want you to watch this. The word right here is this. The word draw nigh is this. God is in heaven. He's looking down for us as his child. He saved us. His grace changed us. He put a new desire in us. We don't even desire to act like we don't know Christ. Why? Because we do know Christ. And here's what happens. God is in heaven. He's looking down, and he knows we're in a battle. He knows we're trying to do right. He knows we need his grace. And the Bible says this. He giveth more grace to the humble. He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Listen to this. And the Bible says, we are to submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee. He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hearts, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted in mourning, weep, let your laughter be turned to mourning, and let your joy heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He'll lift you up. Verse 8 through 10, here's what He says. You seek for forgiveness. What do you mean? Paul said it this way in Romans 7, 24. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? Who will deliver me? You ready? God delivers us. But you got to be honest about it. Thing that we can do in our life as a Christian, you ready? Is be honest with God about where we really are. Go to Him. Go to Him. God, you saw what just went through my mind. I just had the thought of punching my boss in the face. It just crossed my mind, Lord. It just crossed my mind. And you get on your face and say, God, I know that ain't right. You got to help me, God. Help me not to be that way. I want to represent you. The Bible says, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. He comes to our hurt. You know why? Because He given more grace. But listen, He given grace to the humble. We resist the proud. We humble ourselves. He'll lift us. He'll help us. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, tonight, Lord, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for the privilege to be saved. The privilege to have your Spirit inside of us, the privilege to have you talking to us, the privilege to have you wanting to work in our life. And Lord, tonight, no greater area that we see this than in our relationships and our lives. And tonight, Lord, our wives and our children, our grandchildren, and those that we spend time with on a weekly basis, they know who we really are. They know how we live. And Lord, I pray you help us tonight. There's no reason, God, for any of us that know Christ have to live in war in our lives. And God, you're there to help us. You're there to hurry to our aid and to give us grace. And tonight, I pray we be open to you, Jesus. I pray for those in this building that may not know